And while they're leaving, our youth are away this weekend and at camp. So they're over there, and I got a text this morning, and they said that that things are going amazing. They had a great time of worship last night. A lot of the teenagers repenting and apologizing before the Lord and crying out to God that they want to go deeper in Him. And then some of them asked to get baptized. And so maybe some of your parents got phone calls today asking if we can baptize your child without you there. We always do that. But, you know, it's so wonderful when the teenagers get to go away by themselves, among themselves, because there's a greater freedom in them than being here in front of you scary people. Amen? And then in 2 weeks, we've got, I think it's 2 weeks, right? Or is it next week? For the little ones, Lise? Is it next week? No, the weekend after, yeah. So in 2 weekends, then the little ones will go. They'll go away by themselves over to Good Tidings with Pastor Tom and a whole team that they're bringing. And we're really believing God to that there's an impartation at in their lives young, at a young age. Amen? And then there will be no shadow of turning in any one of them because of the intimacy that they find with the Father at a young age. And that's our desire. That's our cry, the cry of our heart. So we just be lifting the youth up as they finish up today, and then they'll come home, and we're believing God for transformation. Not only in them, but in everyone they run into, everyone when they go back to school, that they have a word in their mouths. We were praying that this morning. One person was praying and just crying out that when they go back, they would have that word in their hearts. And as they share it, we would see a magnificent harvest come out of the public schools. Amen? You know, last week we said that converts run away from persecution, trials, and struggles, but disciples face it and are willing to lay their lives down for the Lord. And that's always the key, and it's really an easy way to gauge where we're all at. Amen? It really is, because nobody knows what goes on inside of your head, and that's, I'm glad I have no idea. All right, because I wouldn't come here every Sunday, I guarantee you, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But and nobody really knows what's going on inside of your heart, and even the scripture says only God knows what's in your heart. And so as we start to walk with the Lord, then we walk either as a convert or we walk as a disciple, one who disciplines their lives according to the Word of God, or one who simply wanted a Savior to get out of hell free card. They wanted to know Jesus Christ because they didn't want to go to hell, and then they just live their lives any way they want. But a disciple is constantly preparing themselves for one purpose, and that's to give Jesus Christ glory. That's it. That's my whole purpose in life. After I laid, because when I said it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ, at that moment, now He gets all the glory, because before that, we got all the glory, or at least we tried to anyway, right? Knees get blown out, shoulders get blown out. Next thing you know, all of those dreams are gone. And then you try to figure out what else you're going to do. Some ran to a pub and thought that that was glorious. Isn't that amazing? Going to the pub every Friday and Saturday night and coming home broke every Saturday and Sunday morning and thinking that was living life. How goofy was that? We were lied to, amen? We were trained wrong. And then Jesus Christ stepped onto the scene and everything started to change. So now it's about laying down who I am and lifting up who He is. And as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything about our lives now comes into subjection to the Word of God. It doesn't come into subjection to what anyone else on this planet has told you. Your name changed, your purpose changed, your dreams and your aspirations, they start to change. The more we dive into the Word of God, everything starts to change, like we just got done singing, right? When He walked into the room or when He walked into our lives, everything started to change, and we started walking in a different direction. And as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shared about the young boy in Iraq who they firebombed his house and they all lived, and now he's preaching the Word of God in other places. You know, and if the church acts like the church, we live a life worth living. And the Spirit in you has one goal: strength, power, wisdom for souls. That's what He wants to do. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to empower you to agree with the Word of God And then his desire is that every person in here becomes a soul winner. Amen? Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. See, whether you believe it or not, or whether you've done it or not, isn't the issue. The issue is what the Holy Spirit can do through each and every one of us. Because he can do miraculous things through the least of these. So no matter how we look at ourselves, no matter what happens, to what you think, I should say, when the Spirit of God comes upon us, all of a sudden now the miraculous things start to happen. And people's lives get changed because of you. Tell your neighbor, say, because of you. All right. This morning, as we look at redeeming the time, I want to encourage you. If there's other goals in your life outside of bringing God glory and honor with everything that we have and everything that we've been given and blessed with, then we've got to go back and look what the Word of God says and realign ourselves. We always have to realign ourselves. My wife is home with my grandkids because my daughter and her husband are working at the youth, or with the youth at youth camp. And so then we have the three granddaughters, and one of them had a runny nose, the other one had 100 and some odd fever last night. And so my wife took the 10 to 2 shift, and then I took the 2 to 5 shift, and laying on the floor in my son's room, and every 10 minutes my granddaughter, Pa, what, baby? I don't like these bad dreams. All right. So we pray about that. Pa, what? My throat, my mouth hurts. Okay, I'll get you a drink. So I go out in the kitchen. Pa, every 10 minutes, there was something else. But isn't it amazing how every 10 minutes when she said anything, I did it? Completely manipulated me for 4 hours all night long. That song took on a whole new meaning all night long. Now it's just taking care of grandbabies and wiping noses and everything else. But you know what? It was just beautiful because every time I laid my hand on her, she went to sleep. Every time I prayed, she went back to sleep. And then finally, about 4 o'clock, I had enough. And I said, in the name of Jesus, every dream, every thirst, every hurt, every hot, every get out in the name of, I need some stinking sleep before I go to church. I got a little selfish there in the morning. So about 4:30, I went on the couch and then I got up at 5, but I got a half an hour, so we're good. So if I start drooling, you know why. All right? But you know, no matter what comes, the only thing that was going to change my granddaughter's life was the power of God. Because I'm limited in what I can do. When we lay hands on him and everything starts to change. And you know, she woke up this morning, she's jumping around and laughing like nothing ever happened. So I want you to know the power of prayer works. Prayer works. But we don't want to take a chance in bringing them around the other babies. So you're stuck with me and not my wife today. Ephesians chapter 5. As we look at redeeming the time, and in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 to 17, it says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And in the King James Version, it says redeeming the time in 5:16. And redeeming the time, and that word redeem obviously means rescued, right? We've all been rescued by God. Everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ, you agree that you have been rescued, correct? All right, just making sure. If you don't know if you were rescued or not, if you don't know what tomorrow brings, then we need to go back and look at the word redemption and what was given to you in that redemption, what was imputed to each and every one that cried out to the name of Jesus Christ. Because on that day, it was completed. Amen? All that you had need of to be redeemed was taken care of. You were rescued when you couldn't rescue yourself and no other person on this planet could. But that phrase, redeeming the time in the Greek, it means like one who is walking through a store. Ladies, you can all probably attest to this definition. You walk around in the store and you look at everything. And after hours and hours of going through one store, then another, and looking at things, you finally walk out and you bought nothing. Right. And see, even the scripture says, You need to redeem the time. All right? Redeeming the time is like walking through there, looking at everything. And how many people right now, when we look at what's going on in America, how many people right now are just walking around not sure what to do? Isn't it amazing how the enemy uses it to bring confusion or apathy? Or he comes in and he brings in fear, but thank God God didn't give us that spirit, amen? So we don't have it. It's not a part of who we are. But so many have been walking around trying to figure out what to do. And they've been going from one place to the next, getting up every day, going to bed every night, and nothing seems to change. There's no real direction or purpose yet. It's like the gates are closed when the horses get ready to be released. The gates are closed and they're all antsy, but they're not going anywhere. And that's what it seems like is going on in a lot of people's lives or in the body of Christ or in America and around the world today. Everybody is sort of on hold. They're walking around looking at things, or at least they think they are. Well, we can't do anything. Can I tell you, there's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you can't do when it comes to the kingdom. Can people still hear the word of the God through your mask? Sure. You want to see them get saved fast? Just pull it down and start talking. They'll accept Jesus real fast, all right? There's still plenty to do. Nothing has stopped the body of Christ from doing what God's called it to do. Nothing. Because we don't need this building to build the kingdom of God, do we? It's nice because it's air conditioned and you got nice comfy seats. We're bringing back the pews soon if you don't get busy about your father's business, all right? We're shutting off the AC. No, we're not doing that. Never mind. Rock, paper, scissors. You've been redeemed and rescued and restored and forgiven according to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, but for a purpose. The church can no longer just be walking through life, looking at everything, hearing everything, watching everything, and yet doing nothing. It's not what he's called us to do. Redeeming the time means stop just walking around and watching it. Stop looking at everybody's showcase window. Oh, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. No, what are you doing? Because this is about what each one is called to do. That's what our lives are about. And that's what this time is. No longer just sitting back and walking around aimlessly, but starting to walk and realizing that all the walking and looking, and you walked out without buying anything or being a part of anything or adding to anything. God's desire is that we add to the kingdom of God. Amen? Agorizo is the redeemed. Are redeeming the time, and you put the X in front of it. It's that Exodus, and it paints the picture of finding what you need, purchasing it, and going out. I don't know about you, but that's what I like to do. My wife says, you want to go with me? Where are we going? I always want to ask that. Where are we going shopping? What are we going to get? Do we have a list? No. But honey, we haven't spent a whole lot of time together. Now she's manipulating me. Because she knows, I'll say, well, you're right, I'll go and struggle. But I don't, even Christmas time, I want a list, I want to walk in, I want to know what I'm getting, look at it. If they have it, great. If they don't, I'm going home. If I walk in, and I don't want to just walk through. If we're walking through the mall, I go once a year with her for Christmas shopping, and we go through the mall usually with the Romanos. The first thing we do is we get something to eat, because that's imperative. You know, that's doing something, all right? And then the second thing we do is we get a cup of coffee, because there's purpose in that. And then we stop and I'll get a snack, because you can't go without something sweet after dinner, all right? Then we can do a little shopping. And a lot of times we walked out without buying anything. But we accomplished something. We ate, we had a cup of coffee, and we had a snack. Huh? And we have a contest every year in the mall with the Romanos. Who sees more people that they know? So that's the contest. I think I'm up by a year or two by winning. But because if I'm not winning, I'm making believe. And I'm going, hey, how are you? I haven't seen you in a long time. And they're like, I'm winning. I don't care. I'm winning. No, I don't cheat. I'm just kidding. But if there was any money on it, I might, you know. But it's a difference in the way that we need to look at life now. So much of our lives and so much of the last few months has been walking around waiting for something to change so you can do something. God said it's time to redeem the time. Redeeming the time, knowing what He's called you to do. When we arise in the morning to get into prayer and get into the Word and then listen to the Holy Ghost, Cho said years ago, he said, it's simple, building the kingdom of God. He said, pray and obey. Pray and obey. And it makes it so much easier. You know, we've been in this for some time and we've gotten acquainted for how the government is going to handle the situation. And the people that are outside of Christ are really struggling. If you're in Christ and you're struggling, then you're probably not doing what God has called you to do. It's really that simple. Okay, life has changed. Didn't God say we'd have trials and tribulations? Right, what he was saying is, hey, your life is going to look different in the future. How wonderful is that? Who would want it to look the same every single day? Not me. I want something new every day. I want to meet new people. I want to eat different foods. I want to see different lands. I want to try it all. Let's go out and just see what God's doing and be a part of that. And this is what God wants. Because if we just stay and do the same thing every single day and we remove ourselves from the world, then it's impossible to accomplish what you were created to do. It's impossible because you were created for God to change people's lives. And that's what Jesus came to do, was to set the captives free. Now he lives on the inside of us. And then he said, it's expedient that I must go, that the Spirit would come, right? Now here's the power of God from the throne room of God infused into every believer for the purpose of glorifying God and changing people's lives. How do we change people's lives? Through preaching the Word of God, but also the impartation of the power of the Holy Ghost into their lives. But you see, if we're walking around just looking at the windows, we're walking by people every day, all day long. And we don't even pay attention because we don't have a purpose. We're not out there buying something in the shop window. We're not going out with a purpose and saying, okay, we got to pick up this, 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 and this. When my wife sends me to the store even now, she texts me and she says, these are the things I need. Great. I work well in that. I get in. I get everything quickly, along with some yodels. And because when I go, my kids love it when I go, because I was coming with a little something extra, not on the list. And then my wife says, honey, what? Sorry, you sent me to the store. You get what I bring home. But that's a thought process that I want every day when I go out into public. Whatever God has called me to do, I want to do just a little bit more. Whatever he's asked me to do, if he said, hey, I need you to talk to these three people today, I'm hoping that there's four or five more before the end of the day. Whether it's a phone call, whether it's prayer, whether it's preaching the Word of God, whether it's encouraging, or whether it's meeting another contact. Whether it's meeting in 2 weeks, I'll be going down to Texas. I'm down to Dallas, and there's a meeting with all the guys that are working in the underground in Iran. That's just another contact. It opens up another part of the world. You see, every person that you come in contact with opens up another area of this county or your county or the town or maybe the world, another state or around the world. That's what every contact does. And then we get to reach, just like last week when we said that we sent money over to between Egypt and Iraq and then some down to Guatemala. And you know, as we sowed into there, we touched another part of the world. How exciting is that? Not only do we put boots on the ground at times, but then sometimes we get to sow into another man's vision. And then we get to watch them expand that area that God has called them to. That's what I want to be a part of. But walking around endlessly, going from shop window and coming out with nothing, doesn't add to the kingdom of God. There must be purpose in each one of our lives. Amen? You know, fear comes when you don't know the outcome. Right? You ever jump off a cliff the first time? Maybe it was 10 foot the first time. And you were like, And then either somebody pushed you or you jumped. And then once you jumped, it was like, oh, that was nothing. That was nothing. Let's do it again. We got to find something higher now. Maybe it's the first time you went out of the country. There's so many people that have never left America because they're afraid to go out of the country. But once you go once, oh, it's amazing. Because you realize everybody around the world is doing the same thing you're doing. They just look a little different. They talk a little bit different. And sometimes you can't read the road signs. You have no idea where you're going. And then you don't understand them, and they just start pointing, and the next thing you know, you're way off course. But hey, we only got one shot at life. Who cares if it takes us a little bit longer to get there, right? As long as you make your plane. So, but every aspect, but fear comes when you don't know the outcome. How many here don't know your outcome this morning? You don't know if you're going to heaven. You don't know if your God is going to walk with you all the way through. You don't know if your God is going to supply all of your needs tomorrow. You don't know if he loves you with an everlasting love. How many people don't know what tomorrow brings? Right. See, so we don't have any fear because of the Christ that lives on the inside of us. Amen? There should be no fear. Whatever the government does is really a moot point. Oh, ushers will deal with that later. But when we know what's coming tomorrow, oh, then we become ferocious. Then we become those filled with faith. That when others say, oh, you can't do that, oh, God said, I can. Oh, you don't know what is wrong with you. Oh, everything that was wrong, God made right. Amen. Because now if I'm living for him, he's always going to make a way. All the way into eternity. See, but that's the difference, because a disciple knows that God is going to supply my needs. God is going to walk with me. The Bible says he goes before me as my rear guard, that God's going to take care of my family. There's always going to be enough. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging for bread. But if you don't believe that, you're going to draw back. If you don't believe that, you're not going to give. Hey, we got to make sure that we hoard because we don't know if we're getting through this. Let me tell you, you'll get through this if your faith and your trust is in your God. Amen. No matter what you have to walk through, you're going to walk through it if you walk in faith. You're going to go through, and God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. See, and that's the ultimate, isn't it? You get there, and it's a dead end. You get there, you can't see anything. And this is where so many that are cooped up in their houses right now, they can't see anything outside of what they've been told by man. Because even if you're quarantined to your house, and some have to be, and there's no problem with that, we understand. But you can still reach all four corners of the world from inside your house. Unless you say, I can't do it. I have nothing. I can do nothing. I'm just quarantined here. I'm locked up. I want you to know you're the freest people there are on the planet. Listen, if you have faith, God sent Philip, and Philip didn't leave the area he was in, did he? Philip ended up somewhere else. And what did he do? He started preaching the word of God. God will take you to a place that he needs you to be. It's very simple. And he's going to open up doors for you if you're not just walking around. Oh, that's pretty. Oh, that's nice. Oh, look where that came from. Oh, honey. When we were in Italy, oh, honey, look at this pocketbook. Look at this. What do you think about this pocketbook? How about that? 100 pocketbooks. I don't care. You're carrying it, not me. You're putting your stuff in it, not mine. You buy what you want. Yeah, but honey, what do you think? It doesn't matter. What does it matter what I think of the pocketbook you're going to buy for yourself? Can we just buy one and go on? We're in Italy. I'd like to see something else besides pocketbooks. But this is what happens, you know, just between men. We didn't spend that much time, but quite a bit. Everywhere we went, we had to find another, look at another one anyway. We know the outcome of the season that we're in. Right? You know the outcome of the season that you are in. The outcome is you're victorious. Real simple. The outcome is you're stronger in the Lord. Why? Because all the distractions are shut down. So now you got more time to spend in prayer and in the Word of God. That's what happens. God has put us on a little bit of a sabbatical to draw us closer to Him. It's not just about getting more knowledge in this time. It's about understanding Him and hearing His voice at this time. And my prayer is that you would not turn the television on or just waste time or figure out tomorrow. How many people, don't raise your hands. How many people say, Lord, I'm going to start reading more tomorrow. I'm going to start praying more tomorrow. I'm going to start eating less on Monday. Monday, that's a good day to start. You know, you can't start it on a Friday. Heaven forbid you slow down on chowing on Friday. Sunday is fun day. We can't do it then, Lord. And Harry's having a barbecue on Saturday, Lord. Monday. Yeah. And then it's family dinner. Tuesday. Tuesday I'm going to start, Lord. And we just keep pushing it off. God, the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I need more time with you. Tuesday. Yeah, but it's Thursday. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I know, but that's when I'm done gorging myself. And then I'll have some more time for you. Whatever your distraction is, whatever your thought process is, He said, I want you to redeem the time. I want you to stop walking around endlessly, mindlessly, just getting distracted by all the different things and whatever you can incorporate into your house. I want you to think like a disciple so that every moment of your life has been redeemed to the place where the Spirit of God can live through us, where He can transform somebody else's life because of the power of God in you. Redeeming the time is about reminding ourselves of what the Lord has spoken to us through His Word. So, what are the words that were spoken to you maybe through Pastor Charlie when he was here? I know some of the words that he spoke to some of the people's lives about things they were to do. Not just hear and say, oh yeah, I like that word that God spoke about me. Oh yeah, this is what I'm going to have. This is how He's going to use me. After you do what He asked you to do, the Spirit of God is always going to lead us to a place to put our hands to the plow and not look back. He's going to take us from point A to point B, and then from point B to point C. He's not going to allow you to sit on point A, and then all of a sudden everybody around the world is going to be coming, running to you, saying, oh, touch me, bless me, fill me. It's not the way it works. The way it works is those through reason of use who apply what God's spoken over their, what God has spoken over their lives, God starts to now utilize that to reach farther than you ever dreamed of. But it's through reason of use. Whatever the word over you is. We know the outcome of the season. Therefore, there should be no worry and no anxiety. Not in the body of Christ. Should be not even a thought of that. Why? Because we're so busy about the King's business. Yeah, but I don't have anything to do today. Good. Get your book. Sit with the Father all day. Don't move. And just enjoy Him. You want to redeem the time? The men and women that have spent time on their knees and in the Word for days on end and nothing else have transformed the world like there's no tomorrow. They have changed people's lives because they took time and they disciplined themselves to sit and listen. And then they applied what the Spirit of God spoke to them. Jesus said in Luke 13:21, and He said to them, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons, perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal. You have today. Nobody knows what tomorrow brings, the Scripture says. Amen? So you have today. And Jesus said, I'm going to be busy about my Father's business today. I'm going to be busy about my Father's business tomorrow. And then He said on the third day, we know on the third day He arose and everything was finished. We realize that. But I want you to know, He said, I'm going to perform. I'm going to do. I'm going to accomplish this today. And it was only the Father's desires. You know, maybe your New Year's resolution that you got in January, maybe it was turned upside down a little bit because of COVID. Maybe you had all these thoughts and dreams and stuff. I don't know. But I believe that it's time to redeem the time and to go back to what the Spirit of God said when we were fasting and praying if you haven't accomplished that. I believe that this is that time and that season right now. As you say, well, that's the end of that. I can't accomplish that because of COVID. Everything changed. Well, maybe next year. It sounds like the person that wants to start praying on Tuesday. Right? After the second week of January, well, maybe next year. Then I'm really going to press into prayer, and I'm really going to press into this time of fasting, and God's going to change me. He wants to change us day by day, moment by moment, one act upon another act of faithfulness in Him. That's how God changes us. And as we walk in it, as we walk it out, we know what came now. We know it's here. We know it'll be a part of our lives in the future. You know, but it can't hinder what the Lord has spoken for us. It can't stop and hinder what the Lord is speaking over your life. You know, has it been hindered? That's the question that you have to ask. It's time to circle the wagons and to start to work the plan that God wrote on your heart. It's time to stop looking at all that is going on around us and pick up the purpose of God. Pick up our cross and follow Him, as it says in Matthew 16:24. And press on towards the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not an aimless calling. Not a circular calling, but an upward calling. There's still time this summer to accomplish what He has laid out for you. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, we can still accomplish all that was spoken over us. We can't be blaming anyone else. It's time to redeem the time. You've been redeemed from the snare of the fowler. You've been pulled out of the miry clay, each one of us. Each one of us. You've been cleansed and washed and made whole. God has opened up your eyes to be able to see into the spirit realm. He's given us ears to be able to hear what is spoken in eternity. He's put angels in charge of us. There's nothing lacking. Tell your neighbor, say, you lack nothing. Because if you think you lack, guess what you'll do? Walk from storefront to storefront. And that's somebody else's job to accomplish the things of God rather than the church. We're the church. We've got one purpose. And that purpose is to proclaim Him. That purpose is to live for Him. That purpose is to stop blaming everything and everyone else, and then look what He has spoken, purchase it or agree with it, and then move on to implement it. Realign our hearts, thoughts, and passions and priorities. 1 John 2:17, it says, the world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. The one who does the will of God, redeeming the time, doing the will of God. You know, I believe it's time to shake off the confusion that has come into the world to cause each person to walk around aimlessly in the marketplace or simply looking and not accomplishing anything, but to put our hand to the plow and to do what God's called us to do. For those that prophesy, to prophesy. For those that are to preach, preach. For those that are to pray and intercede, intercede. For those that are studying, make sure that you're giving your time completely to it and then acting upon the Word of God. No longer looking left and right. 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It is not tomorrow. It is not the next day, because you don't know if you're going to be around tomorrow. You have no idea what tomorrow brings. Neither do I. I know that if I wake up tomorrow morning, He'll make provision for me and my family. I know that if I wake up tomorrow, He'll have purpose for my life. There's nothing worse than somebody walking around purposeless, especially a Christian. Nothing worse than Christians walking around with no purpose in the kingdom of God. How sad is that? The Son of God dies for us, washes us, cleanses us, fills us with the most power that any man or woman could possibly encompass, and then have no purpose or walk out the purpose of what the world is running after. Oh, heaven forbid that's us. Not here. Tell your neighbor, say, not us. Tell your other neighbor, say, not you. Not here. Yeah, you got to keep an eye on that neighbor. Behold, now is that day of salvation. Somebody out there has been praying. Somebody out there has been thinking about suicide. someone out there has been thinking about how to get through life because they have no idea. They didn't have a mom. They didn't have a dad. Whatever it was, some of them out there are just coming out of jail trying to find someone to lead them through that next phase of their lives. Some of them are racked in addiction, and they have nobody telling them that they don't have to be an addict the rest of their lives. Whatever the addiction is, some are in the church. Do we agree? All right, I didn't know what happened. That I was the only one that thought like that or dealt with stuff like that. Jesus didn't come so that we would just walk aimlessly from store to store. He came that we would have life, but have it abundantly. It would be an abundant life in Christ. So we stand before the Father and we say, these are the souls that you told me to go tell, and I did my job, and they came into the kingdom. These are the souls that you asked me to train, and I trained them according to your word. Here they are, they're yours. This is the place that you told us to go and preach. We went and preached. One man got saved, and he changed that area. Whatever it is, this is the thing that you told me to give to. These are the people that you told me to allow into my house. Whatever it is, it's each thing that the Father speaks, and we start to redeem the time now. Now, every other thought that you have about failure, you have to leave it here today. Don't worry, George will clean the hole upstairs and we'll get rid of it. But every thought about what you haven't been able to do or you didn't do, there's no condemnation in Christ. All we are is talking about we're not walking aimlessly anymore. We're not walking around hoping for something else to open up. Here's what opened up. Heaven opened up. The windows of heaven opened up, and he poured out every single good thing upon you and upon me. And he said, there's the whole world. Go take dominion. He didn't say after COVID dies down. He said, go and take dominion. And there's a lot of men around the country that are starting to stand up and say, we've had enough. We've had enough of the foolishness. Some are going to court over having their churches open to be able to preach and pray, prophesy, and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. We've got a mandate from God not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which is the manner of some. Lifting up our voices unto God. Coming together as the body of Christ. His word supersedes every other word on this planet. His word. But his word supersedes every other desire on this planet too, that we have as individuals. It can't just be because of a situation we're in, but it's got to be every moment of each day. What is my desire? Does it line up with the purpose that I was created for and what I've been redeemed for? You've been redeemed for a purpose, and it's beautiful, and it's powerful, and it's transformational in many, not one, not two, but many people's lives. Because you got a lot of days left in you, amen? You've got a lot of days left in you, and there's a lot of lives that God wants to touch. And it's not about some big cataclysmic thing that you got to do. It's about loving one. It's about loving one. If we would just love one. First, loving the Lord, and then loving one another. And then go find one that doesn't love you, and love them anyway. And we'll transform our whole society, because that's what the world's looking for. They're angry. They're frustrated. They're upset. They scream and yell, and they think whoever screams the loudest wins. It's not how it works, amen? It's the one who speaks with a soft whisper has transformed all of our lives. It was a word that was spoken to our hearts that changed us forever. Stand up this morning. You're the voice of the King of glory on the earth. You're the representation of the power of God to be manifested on the earth. That's who you are. You're the leaders of every area on the earth. Don't back away from anything because you've got the wisdom to lead people through. I don't care how long they've been in government. The longer they've been in government, the more leadership they need in the kingdom. And we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders continually, because it's your prayers that are going to change people's lives. I believe that. And I know your life was changed by somebody else's prayer. Right? Every one of us here, you didn't come in here and say, hey, nobody prayed for me. I got this. I got it all together. Check me out. I came to Christ and nobody helped me. Not a person in here. Somebody else was crying out, oh God, you're the only one that can change that poor boy. You're the only one that can heal that poor girl. You're the only one that can stop her from going window to window to window to window shopping. You're the only one, Lord. Somebody prayed for you endlessly, tirelessly, and kept crying out. And then you bowed your knee and you came to the Father. I thank God for praying people in my life, and I need a lot of them. And let me tell you something, leaders of our country, they need a lot of us praying. But then stepping out and doing what the prayer said, what God tells us while we're in prayer, I should say. It's about stepping out. We're not hindered any longer from doing His will. Amen? Redeem the time. The hour is now. Even the rest of this day, wherever you go, there's a little waitress over to the diner. She watches us all the time whenever she can. She's the one with red hair. Heather, I think her name is. We were there the last time when Pastor Charlie was here. She said, where do I get a Bible? I said, we'll get you one. Kim brought her one this week and dropped it off over there. Because every time we go in, all I do is share Christ with her. Always tell her how beautiful she is, how wonderful she is, and that God has a plan for their lives. Each and every one. See, wherever you go today, there's a purpose, and it ain't to stuff food down your head. There's more to it than that. I'm going to be stuffing some, trust me. But there's people around me that I don't know, I'm sharing Christ with them. Every single person. See, we always have a purpose, and that purpose is Christ plus nothing. Amen? No matter where you go today, I'm expecting the saints of God, the sons and daughters of God, those that have been endued with power from on high to proclaim Jesus Christ into someone's life, so that someone is sitting next to you next week. Because you help draw them out of darkness and bring them into His marvelous light. Let's pray. Father, we come and we're so grateful for Your word. Lord, redeeming the time. A simple phrase. And yet You've given us so much. Today, we'll do Your will. Tomorrow, we'll do Your will. And maybe the third day, we'll have finished it. We don't know what day we're going to stand before You, but Father, our love for You, when we fall in love with You, we start to act upon that love. Each time, love has become an action. Yours was the greatest, that agape love, that sacrificial love that sent Your only begotten Son. Father, today I pray that each one of us would once again delve into that or dive into Your word, into prayer, and be reminded of the power of Your great love that drew us out, changed our name, brought healing into our hearts, infused us with power from on high, and changed the whole world. Lord, Your love is amazing. It's amazing. Let us just share about Your love and what You've done for each one of us, with everyone that we come in contact with, that they would be stirred to a place of desiring that freedom that You have given us. Father, we love You. I pray Your blessing upon each and every one here. Lord, and no matter where they go, they're reminded, no, I have to redeem the time. No window shopping, no walking around aimlessly. No more fear, no more anxiety. I'm free to do the will of my Father. I must redeem the time. Father, we do pray for those that are in authority over us, from the president on down, Lord, to even the local civic leaders. Lord, each and every one, we pray that You would open their hearts, for You said that none come to You unless You draw them. Father, that You would open their eyes, the eyes of their understanding. They would be able to hear when anyone speaks to them about the things of God. They wouldn't cast it aside like we did so many times. But Father, they would say, wait a minute, tell me some more. Tell me a little bit more about who this Jesus is. Open their hearts, my God. And then give everyone here courage courage to step out and not worry about tomorrow. It'll take care of itself. And Father, we thank you for the hearts that are going to be received by the King of Glory this week, because the saints of God now have become stronger disciples in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not those that just walk around, not those that just accepted Christ, but we have become sons and daughters of God, obedient to the things of God, even unto the death. Lord, we pray for those that are leading over in Iraq and over in Egypt, down in Guatemala and India. Father, and as this new government is rising up and now wants to make it against the law for anyone to proselytize or change religion in India, Father, we pray for strength for our Indian brothers and sisters. Oh God, Lord, that as persecution comes, that underground church would explode more than it ever has on top. But Lord, they dive into you. Father, we speak life into each and every one. Father, those that we're partnering with around the world, we just pray, oh God, that you would once again infuse them with a fresh anointing. Father, meet their need in the name of Jesus, and thank you for allowing us to be a small part of it. Father, today is that day. It could be our last day here. Let us use it for the glory of the King. Thank you, Father, for the body of Christ rising up and remembering, today I'll redeem it. I'll use it all for the King of Glory. I'll magnify him with my voice, my hands, my feet, and all that I have, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. God bless you. No walking aimlessly. We are walking with purpose, with vision, and with understanding. God bless you.